see it. Together at last at twilight time. Welcome, Westview. You've tuned in to PMG Radio, brought to you by Bovamilk, Wondergore's magical little secret. Now, some music. Hello there, you're listening to the PMG Podcast, the multiverse's next leading show in all things pop culture. I'm your host, Marcel Delgado, here with Alonzo.
Hello.
And today we are reviewing WandaVision, starring Elizabeth Olsen, Paul Bettany, Catherine Hahn, Tayona Paris, Randall Park, and Kat Dennings, among other people. Over the years, we've had a fair share of comic book TV shows. Now, Marvel Studios is going all in with their shows, and it's been about a month after all the theorizing, debating, and wait for this series. But we have this very odd creative story that I've been waiting for since it was announced. I remember there being a plethora of excitement, confusion, and wonder of what exactly a Marvel Studios production would look like in television form. Because for years, I was a fan of the original Marvel television shows, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then when Netflix came and did their thing, I felt like everything else needed to have that standard. But as I kept on watching, I remember there was always like that thing where I was just like, it needed that little extra oomph to it. You could compare it a little bit to the movies, but there was always like that little tone that just wasn't there exactly. Not to necessarily say bad things about Daredevil or Jessica Jones and... well, the other ones have their issues. But I think right now it's interesting that we saw our first glimpse of what it looks like. Alonzo, what did you think about when they announced all of the TV shows?
I remember you specifically bringing up what a lot of these shows were. It's interesting because you and me actually have very different perspectives on that, because you've seen all the Marvel shows from the Netflix series. I haven't seen any of them except, I want to say, a couple of episodes of Daredevil and a couple episodes of Jessica Jones. And I mean, I enjoyed some of what those things had to offer. But and I've even seen a handful of episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with you when you showed me. I remember one of the coolest things I will say about that show was, because all those shows were supposed to be interconnected, I remember during when Winter Soldier happened and Hydra ended up taking over, in a similar episode right after that, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had an episode where Hydra also took over, and there was a bit of like chaos that ensued because of that. I found that so cool, and that's one of the kind of like smaller, one of the few things I actually really enjoyed about, I guess you would say, the expanded universe things that they were doing. But it always felt like there was a bit of disconnect, because I feel like it didn't have, I guess, what you would call that Marvel touch that WandaVision has. WandaVision has that same beautifully familiar care about the characters that all the Marvel films have. And I think it was one of the things that was lacking in the TV shows, and even a little bit in the Netflix adaptations, because even the Netflix ones, you could tell, was definitely made by people who genuinely cared, but it did have a slight tonal difference to the rest of the MCU, which wasn't a bad thing, but it was definitely different, and you could tell that. And that's the reason I think there was also this sort of like essence in the air about whether or not these shows were connected to the MCU or not. But I remember when they announced all the TV shows and everything, you were so excited. And honestly, for me, I really, you know, I've never been really that big of a fan of expanded universe things or many things like that. But when WandaVision came out, man, the amount of buildup and the way you can tell that the show was being produced did not even feel like a TV show. My God, it felt like a miniseries or just an extended movie. The production quality, the way that I think like it was introduced just starting from episode one, is honestly like nothing I've ever seen before really on TV, other than really, really high production TV shows that only go for a handful of seasons, if not just a handful of episodes.
These comparisons were always going to happen. My attention span is very small when it comes to television, because we're in the golden age of television. We've seen Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, Chernobyl. There's high level production qualities, and not even, and even just on a smaller scale, like when you get shows like Atlanta or Master of None, or just even like other shows like Fleabag, where it's just, you see there's a level of just perfection and just craft that I really want from a show.
I think what it is too is And like I said, even with the Marvel one specifically, like I said, maybe Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Punisher, specifically those three, there's this just kind of hint of not just only uniqueness, but just a certain level of like the people who are behind that are not doing it for any real monetary reason, but you can tell that there's a level of care behind that. And that's what I could tell between all the shows you just said. There was always somebody who was either, you know, at the helms or the entire team as an ensemble was working together to produce the best quality thing they could show. That doesn't always mean it needs a lot of money or flashy things because, you know, Better Call Saul and even like Breaking Bad don't necessarily have big budget CGI scenes, but it's the fact that I think everything is so carefully curated and not for a monetary sense, but more for a narrative sense. And I think that is yet again, something that has kind of been definitely carryover into this new series, but something that's now been, I think, in my opinion, like jumped and expanded upon that.
It's the showrunners. You got to take into perspective who's behind everything here. Like right now, this is Kevin Feige's game now. Marvel Television, which runs all of those older shows that we were talking about, was run and operated by Ike Perlmutter, which famously was one of the executives that used to be in charge at Marvel Studios and then had a falling out. Long story short, he was kind of an asshole, and he got ousted by Disney executives and Kevin Feige as well, and now Kevin Feige's in charge of Marvel Studios. And the minute that all changed and there was like that shuffling of power, this is when like we started seeing the Marvel Television series kind of dim back a little bit, and then we started seeing this get announced. Cinematography, acting, everything that you would really expect to see be on par with an MCU production. Because that being said, I like the MCU. I really do. It's one of my favorite franchises because of the overarching story and the memories that I have with it and the potential that's there. It's not like fine cinema. It's just, you know, sometimes you want to have popcorn, sometimes you want to have steak. It depends on what you want. Sometimes the MCU tends to be a fine balance between the two, but there's a little spit of predictability when it comes to the formula that we've gotten. And I felt that because of we're moving into television and long-form storytelling, there is such potential for them to just get creative and go into out-of-the-box ideas. And I remember when we got Falcon and the Winter Soldier was supposed to be the first one that we got, then it was Loki, then they announced WandaVision, and I remember just like the premise, like the idea of it, like when I was at work when they announced all this stuff, and I was like watching tidbits while like I think Jose or someone was like taking orders about that, and I'm just like sitting there like a crack addict trying to like refresh my feed, like okay. And then WandaVision, just the idea of it had like that 50s aesthetic to it, and I'm like, this looks like it's ripped out of the Twilight Zone and Fallout, and it's like there's a lot of just odd potential here. And I'm a huge fan of Wanda and Vision's characters in the books, whether it be House of M, The Vision, Scarlet Witch and The Vision. I mean, there's countless stories and potential there that hasn't really been shown in the MCU because, you know, these characters are all in an ensemble cast and with greater stories being told. So there's only so much that each film can really show and tell about them. But I had a lot of theories of how they were going to tackle them and what they could do and what this could be. And when we got to the actual premiere of it, I was solidified in that. I was pretty much on the ball when it came to like calling it for what it is. I mean, I was telling you for months about it.
I guess spoiler kind of if you still haven't seen it, but you know,
it's been a month and a half or so.
Yeah, it's been a month and a half. Hopefully has everybody seen it. But yeah, no, like you were honestly right on the nose. You literally told me months before it came out that the show was going to be about how Vision died, and this was her basically grieving process of her losing Vision, losing her family, losing the things that she has, and then creating a whole entire universe to sort of deal with it and cope with it. And it was hilarious because I feel like you had told me and I had known about this for so long. I don't know if like I kind of knew where the show was sort of leading to because of that the whole time, because like, you just kind of told me. But it's not that it's a bad thing. I just, I guess, at that point had an understanding of what the show was going to be. But I guess it didn't ruin that experience at all for me, because the way they unraveled everything was, I think, in my opinion, really beautifully done. It, like, I remember the first two episodes came out, it had a lot of backlash. And it was hilarious because the first two episodes when they came out had the backlash, it very, very strictly reminded me of two specific things that you had told me once. And that was once when they turned, I believe that prehistoric thing with some of the Marvel heroes.
That in itself goes into another bit of a gripe that some of the community has with it, because we're so used to and spoiled to Netflix's binge mentality when it comes to watching television. You get all the season all at once and you got to watch it like a maniac for like 6 to 12 hours straight, if you, depending on how much will you have. But Marvel's going the route of classic television, or like even like Amazon and Hulu in some regards, where they give it week by week, pissed a lot of people off. I was very much for it because this is a slow burn story and it does its damnedest to try to keep you in that mystery. Not as long as it could have gone, but still, even after like the fourth episode when they were revealing the curtain, you were still kind of, we were all still theorizing and wondering, okay, is this Mephisto here? Or when's the X-Men going to come in? Or like, what's this? And that is something that is correlates directly with the comic books. And now we're getting serialized television, which was similar to what the serialized films. And it's going all back to the comic books. Because every week, sometimes I'm like, comic book readers, no, you have to wait sometimes twice a month to sometimes once a month to read a certain book. Remember when Superior Spider-Man dropped? Everyone was freaking out. It's the worst. This, it's going to be terrible. How, you killed my child. You killed Peter Parker. And now look at what happened. It's considered one of the best Spider-Man stories of all time. And it happens countless times. And I think I remember which, I think you're talking about the Avengers of 1000 BC, which did recently with some of that. So there's backlash at first because no one knows. Everyone's confused. But as the years have gone by, you just got to just sit back, relax, enjoy the story, and be entertained as long as it's your cup of tea. And if it's not your cup of tea, then that's fine. And just dial back in. But
yeah, and that's kind of what I was trying to bring it to, is like it reminded me seeing all the online backlash because, you know, I was a little bit, I think I'm going to say I was about a week late because I waited, I think, to watch it with you. But I remember hearing about all the online backlash. And after I watched it, like, you know, I thought the episodes were fine. You know, I think it did a good job of capturing a lot of what it was going for, the old school Dick Van Dyke show. I think it did really well in capturing all those elements. I didn't necessarily find it too funny, the episodes. You know, I mean, they were charming, but I think that has more to do with the actors, because I think, you know, Vision and Wanda are just both such amazingly talented, charming actors. And it wasn't poorly written at all. You know, I just didn't find it all that funny. But that doesn't say I didn't find it entertaining. And what I found so strange was, like I said, just how much backlash there was, because it was like, what? We don't know what's going on. And like, there was this very weird outrage of just like, we don't know what it is, so therefore we're upset online. And I was like, that was so odd. And yet again, maybe it's because I had the clarity of what you had been telling me for months at that point. And like, you know, technically you could have been wrong, but at the same time, even though after watching the first two episodes, I wasn't like, this is so bad. I'm like, come on guys, it's a TV show. Like, it's going to keep going. Like, that's the whole point of it. Like, it's a buildup. It's a starting, you know, like we got to wait for it to go further down to see before we can hate it or not. You know, honestly, I think WandaVision starts off with what I will say is a very unique beginning to, I think, any TV show I've ever seen, though. And I think that's also what captured a lot of people, including people who don't even really like the Marvel movies. I've heard a lot of people who don't watch Marvel movies even say how much they enjoyed WandaVision. And at least the first couple of episodes is because it starts off with this so untraditional level of untraditional way of beginning a TV series that it kind of just, you know, build your interest at least. And you kind of want to see where this goes.
I love every aspect of how they just committed to the eras, whether it was the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Then they had the 90s / like, you know, 2000s kind of like mixed together. But specifically those early decades of just trying their damnedest to really capture the cinematography. For the 50s episode, they completely used old string effects that they would have used on sitcoms from the Dick Van Dyke Show and Bewitched. I loved it. But as a narrative, and when you just jump into it as a show without knowing anything, you'd be damn confused.
Oh, yeah.
I heard stories like where people were watching it with their relatives, they're watching it with their mothers and fathers, aunts, grandparents, because they grew up with those shows. And then all of a sudden they get sucked into it, and it's just almost like a mixture of Pleasantville with, I keep repeating it, X-Files, but come on. But you know, you just give it that little like just sci-fi horror just flair, and and every episode would end with like a little twist and a little turn, kind of like Wanda's little head tilt. It reveals a little bit, but not too much, and keeps you just a little bit more intrigued, but not in a cheap way.
No, yeah, like everything in this show felt so, like it was done so purposefully, and yet again, that's another thing that's a very big plot to WandaVision is nothing feels like it's done on accident. Every move, every camera movement, every turn, the actors, everything feels so methodically placed. They had a very, very good plan, like coming into the show with like very well thought out ideas of where this was going, and so the tie-ins you can tell coming from the very, very beginning of the actual start of the show if you really pay attention to everything. And like you said, I mean, dedicating every single kind of episode up to a certain point to a specific decade and capturing sort of all the nuances of a specific TV show and displaying them in a way that's not only relatable to a lot of people who grew up with those things, but also just charming enough to where even if you didn't inherently grow up watching those shows like the Dick Van Dyke or Bewitched, like I personally didn't ever watch those shows. I used to watch a lot of I Love Lucy, but even then I was still able to enjoy and attribute a lot of those other sort of relatable charms that those type of shows had. And like I said, even if you didn't ever see any of those types of shows and you didn't know them, WandaVision did such a good job of expressing them in a way that just came off so enjoyable. And honestly, like yet again, it's like that's another very big plot in kind of bringing everybody together to take something out of the show for themselves while at the same time realistically enjoying basically an extended MCU movie, you know, like which is like kind of cool. Like what a twist on the idea of just an MCU movie TV show.
And if we're going on to relatability, the premise alone hits more poignant at a time right now than ever before. Grief-stricken person turning to television and their memories, because what is more perfect in an imperfect world than a sitcom? And just going and burrowing yourself into your childhood almost at some points and creating a fictional home away from home so you don't have to deal with the traumas that you're trying to run from. And yeah. Right now with like everything in the pandemic and everything in the past year or so, we've all spent like majority of our time on our asses watching shit. So I think that was something that just, I know that wasn't done on purpose, but it's just parallels funnily enough right now with what we're going through.
Yeah. And the way that the show just tackles that premise, the premise of grief and having to deal with the loss of loved ones and sort of it becoming everything, you know, not to, you know, jump too far ahead, but when we get that flashback to when Wanda was a kid and the bombs were going off but with her and her brother, it's so interesting how moments of grief, which is basically what she's going through the entire show, brings back other hardships that people have gone through, and those almost seem to stack up onto what's going on. This level of grief that is done, like the way it's being displayed, is so much more complex in a weird way, but it's also done sort of like they're almost like walking through the levels of grief with her. Like we're walking through the levels of grief with Wanda as she's sort of experiencing, you know, denial, acceptance, and all these other steps that she has to go to eventually, you know, accepting the fact of what happened to Vision. And that's another thing that's also a universal thing, like you were saying, it's so relatable. And you know, you're right, like having to sit at home sort of like watching TV shows or just even being by yourself kind of gives you a lot of time to think and sit and I guess not really face the world. And I guess for a lot of people, when they had to get stuck at home, a lot of them were kind of forced to face their own worlds, and some people had to face kind of their nightmares depending on your situation. And that's why I think the pandemic has both been a really both beneficial and really hard time for a lot of people, because for some people it really kind of forced them to sit down and look at some things maybe they had never had a chance to really sit down and listen to and like look at themselves. And for other people, it really awoke a lot of demons that were best left to bed, you know, and it's not because of their fault of their own. And it's and that's why I think, like you said, it's quite a perfect show for right now and what's going on with the pandemic.
And I think in that regard, too, it's like it also just makes Wanda being our main protagonist, because, I mean, Vision is as well. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's Wanda's show. And I understand, like, as we keep going into the story and so that after we're trying to figure out what the whole mystery of, like, this little, like, are they in another universe or whatnot, it gets revealed that she is behind all of this and she's created this hex, which they, I think it's cute that they call it a hex because that was her little hex powers that they called it in the books back in the 60s and 70s. and so it was, like, a nice little way of doing it. She created this giant pocket reality and there's, like, this barrier that S.W.O.R.D. is investigating because S.H.I.E.L.D.'s non-existent Jason at this point. They're not going to get into Hammer yet at this point. Sending off Monica Rambeau, who's, you know, returning from Captain Marvel. And one of the best openings to a show that I've seen when they have her coming back from the snap. And we get to finally see what it looks like, what the blip looked like. Because we saw it in Far From Home, and it was played for a little bit of a joke. But this was it had a lot of just gravitas, a lot of weight. Oh, yeah. Chaos. And I remember just shouting and just like being on edge. And I'm like, remembering, like, yeah, damn, this is what it was like. It's been this damn long since we've gotten to Marvel anything. And it felt damn close to the movies.
Yeah, like it was done so well because it really did make you feel like what it would feel like if you were just a normal person on the ground. And, you know, you came back, you know, not knowing where that you came back from anywhere. And then, you know, she was, you know, at the hospital asking for her mom because her mom was missing. And she was like, where'd they move, you know, my mom? And it's so crazy because it was such a small, short piece of the episode, but it was so impactful because of the implications of what everything else Marvel has done and set up. And yet again, this is, I think, one of the things that this show and I think these next series of MCU TV shows are doing is they're having this sort of thread line go through everything. And it continues even in these TV shows so well, and they feel so naturally incorporated and not really forced. Even a lot of the characters that are in the show, like Agent Wu from Ant-Man and Darcy. And, like, you know, both of them, even them, like, they don't feel like, oh, look, guys, you know, here's some fan favorites or here's some cameos from some of your, like, no, they feel genuinely integrated into the story in a very organic way. And I think that has something to say about the writing. That has something to say about the cast themselves and the way that the show is actually really well produced. You know, honestly, I could realistically go day and night about saying how many good things I loved about WandaVision, but there was definitely a handful of things that I wish, as much as I enjoyed a couple of things, there are a handful of things where I was like, you know, I wish I could have done them a little better.
Yeah, I think around the time of episode 5, because episode 5 was like when they it was on a very special episode. It was the 80s/90s one, kind of like Roseanne. It was done well. We started seeing more of like the plot kind of just thicken, Vision's becoming more self-aware of everything, and I just love that scene when she just stops the fight by initiating the credits. It's just little fun things like that, but someone is at the door, and when she opens the door, we see a silver head of hair, and it's Quicksilver, played by Evan Peters from the X-Men films, and that the internet just exploded. The ramifications at that point were just all over the place. I was like freaking out. I'm like, I didn't think they were gonna get into it already. This is the first MCU thing since they've gotten the Fox deal, and there's so much speculation that it was like a week in between when it happened, but it slowly deflated.
Yeah, and that honestly, like, that was something that I was super excited about. I mean, I personally have always loved the X-Men franchise, obviously, and it not necessarily being connected. Well, yeah, it's not obviously connected to the MCU, but just obviously it's a Marvel-based property. And I've always loved the X-Men I'm watching the cartoons as a kid. And honestly, I really do love a lot of the actors that play a lot of the X-Men characters. I think a lot of people do. You know, seeing Evan Peters playing Quicksilver in, you know, WandaVision, especially, you know, everyone and their mom knowing about the whole Fox deal with Disney. So I think it was such a big statement almost that it felt, because of the fact that it was like, wow, you know, there obviously is or has been two Quicksilvers. There's been the one from the Fox universe and there's been the one from the MCU universe. And the fact that they made him that, I was like, Jesus, is this really what I think it is? And, you know, more than half the internet, I think everybody on the internet thought the exact same thing, which is like, this is going to be how they kind of integrate the X-Men into the MCU. And that's the thing, is like, you were saying it before the shows even came out, people were already theorizing. After this was announced, Jesus Christ, the theorization just went through the roof. I mean, everyone, including me, and like everyone who casually is a Marvel consumer, was just talking about what this means for the X-Men. And so this is actually, I think, where I'm going to have to kind of say my piece on this. Near the ending of the show, I would say not a lot, but there was a handful of people, including myself, that felt a little bit disappointed at how some of the things were handled. But after sitting back now for a month and really thinking on those things, it's actually not really fair to blame the disappointment that I had personally felt on the show, because a lot of the theories and ideas I kind of had, you know, not just me, but the internet, I think a lot of other people that I read online had built up together, So I think I shouldn't allow my personal sort of like wants and needs of a show to dictate whether or not if they do it, it's going to make the show better or worse. Because at the end of the day, revisiting the show and just really thinking about once I kind of have the quote unquote disappointment, which is wasn't really a disappointment of Evan Peters not being who we thought he was, at least as far as we know right now. It's one of those things where it shouldn't necessarily make the show any worse or better, because I think, and this is actually one of the second times we've seen this happen, which is really funny. And the only other time that I think the internet really remembers of when theorization can hurt or help a movie is The Last Jedi, which, you know, there's already, you know, there's two sides to that. There's a whole debate about what happened with that. But, you know, simply to put it is The Force Awakens had, you know, set up some things, and people, I think, had a lot of personal fan theories that they wanted episode 8 to be. And I think episode 8 did not necessarily do the things that people expected it to do. And so because of that, there was a lot of disappointment that I don't think was garnered. I think a lot of that sort of expectation was kind of misplaced. And so same thing here for WandaVision. Personally, for myself, I can speak, is that some of the disappointment I think I felt was more of a result of my own theorization and what I wanted, you know, Evan Peters and what him to mean versus what the show actually offered to me. Because at the end of the day, the show itself was still phenomenal. And so I can't deny the fact that because the show was phenomenal, that I should take that one piece that I wanted, and that's going to be the end all be all of why this show is good or not. And that's just silly. You know what I mean? Like, that's just silly.
Oh, yeah. Just always funny, because like, fans will complain if you're not focusing on the characters and you're just setting things up and it's just like this big setup story. But then when we get the story that's just character based, we're like, why aren't you setting things up? Because it is paced as like a normal movie. If we were to watch this all in one go or in a condensed 2.5 hour like film version of it, there would be less of a backlash, because everyone got invested into it real quick. And I understand the annoyance and I understand the backlash. It kind of left me a little underwhelmed when I found out because they also named the guy Ralph Boner.
Yeah,
I mean, come, it's a lot of Mandarin like callbacks from like Iron Man 3, where it's just like, you know, like the writers kind of just having a little fun and a little tongue-in-cheek moment, but it feels like it's almost like at our expense. Aside from that all being a thing, I mean, I haven't really thought about it. I just remember more so like I think fondly on the show for the story it's told and like how much it just delved into grief. Wanda's character boosted her stats to where she should properly be. Same way as Vision, because we got way more into her backstory and way more into theorizing that she might be and probably is the first mutant in the MCU, because she had probability powers as a young child. I loved the scene where we see her become the Scarlet Witch. It's just done almost in this mythical, prophesized type of story. And I feel like it's we've been talking for so long about it already, and we haven't even gotten to our big bad of the show, who came in a little bit later in the show but was always present, which is Catherine Hahn as Agnes, or Agatha Harkness, which was
Agatha.
Every comic book fan knew that this was coming around the corner, but still, it was just the journey of it, which is what I appreciate and loved, because she reveled in this character and in this role, but she just does that with every role she has.
You know, and actually touching base on what you were saying earlier, actually real quick, you know, with Wanda and showing her powers and her, you know, who she is, I don't think I have ever loved Vision more than in this show, because like the concept of Vision, who he was and all the movies and all the moments we've enjoyed with him have been great. But this like humanization of Vision and honestly, the performance that Paul Bettany delivered, it was just so honestly amazing. Like, man, the love that you feel between him and Wanda, and that's on, you know, that's on the regard of both of them. That's on,
oh yeah,
that's because of it feels so intimate and real, and it feels like there's so much love and care between them that even near the ending when Vision basically has to be casted away, you know, it brings a tear to your eye. It really does. It brings a tear to your eye because of just there's all this craziness going on in the show, but at the end of the day, in its purity, it is about the loss of a loved one, and you really feel it. You really, really do feel it.
Vision's best moments in the books are always whenever he gets philosophical. Tom King's The Vision, which is just the majority of this is based off of, it delves into like the humanity and the whole like do androids dream of electric sheep type of like Philip K. Dick type of storytelling. Like from Age of Ultron, an android and a robot discussing humanity in the woods. Conversations like that. Even in this, Wanda was going through her memories And he makes that line about grief being love persevering. So many human moments that are just so... I've known Bettany to be a really good actor and Olsen to be a killer actress. But after this show, with them showing really what they can do if they're just left to their own devices and just given full creative freedom, honestly, I want to see them in both respectively and together as these two characters in as many things as we can see them in.
Oh, yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. But quickly, too, going back to what you're saying about Agatha is like, man, what a, yet again, it's like continuing, like I said, the trend. It's just an all-star just cast, man. Just completely all-star cast with everybody they chose to play all these characters. And I'm going to get into, like I said, another gripe that I did have about WandaVision. Even with all the actors doing really well in all their performances near the end of the show, which I think maybe I know you know a little bit more about this than I did. Some of the external characters, sort of the extra characters that were brought in, ended up feeling a little bit forgotten about, which in a way doesn't necessarily take away from the show because the show was just done so well and all the performances of the characters were done so well. But there was a little bit of like, as if like they were introduced but not really expanded upon once they were introduced. And I know that, I think you were telling me that something happened with the production of the show.
Yeah, this entire production, along with Falcon and the Winter Soldier and I believe maybe one more, were all affected during COVID. And so because of that, there was a lot of need to expedite shooting that finale. There was supposed to be 10 episodes actually. The finale itself, there was a moment where like several of the side characters, the trio of like, you know, Darcy, Wu, and Rambo all try to get Billy and Tommy out of Agatha's basement. And that rabbit was going to turn into a demon because it was like they were always alluding, you know, that this rabbit's not a rabbit. It's something else. They keep like panning to it or showing it and it eats a freaking canary. They were setting up things and then like the pandemic hit and they had to rush it. So I think you can still see that it became a little bit more punchy bad guy at the end and less of like a what it was kind of being, which was like a nice balance between the two. I think it's a shame that it wasn't able to be its full potential because of what happened. That being said, I still think they did a damn good job.
Completely
in agree. Hindsight, that finale, it feels a little rushed and a little like we need just maybe like 40 more minutes or just another episode to kind of just really just give it that right level of solidarity that 99% of the show has. But I was all for it. The action was badass. We had like two Visions fighting, or White Vision versus Vishan, however you want to go about it. Like it was with the ship of Theseus and so like that. It's like there's a lot of great stuff here, and it's just like I think we wanted more of it, and the show itself wanted more. It was intended for more, but we didn't end up getting that.
Yeah, I think that's also what it has to say about the show is like, you know, honestly, when the show ended, I wanted more, you know, and I think so did a lot of people. Like I wanted way more. If they would have, you know, asked me like, hey, how many more seasons do you want of this? Like, I would have loved to have more. But do I feel like anything was really left on the table that needed to be answered? I mean, not really. Like I said, it's more just like I wish they would have just expanded here or there. You know, done things here or there. But yet again, it's like what we got as a product was just so well made. It's kind of like, I don't know, like it's like getting a brand new car, but you know one of the taillights is out. You know, it's like it's still a new car. Like at the end of the day.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like the finale kicked ass. Her whole reveal of her becoming the Scarlet Witch
was fucking dope.
Sick ass costume reveal. She pulls the whole like pulls a Doctor Strange on her, where she's like, haha, I gotcha. The runes are all around us right now, girl. I got you. And it's just, I loved it. I love whenever protagonists just act smart and are just like they pull one over on it just with their wits. I love whenever that's done in the story. And there's one little thing I want to touch on, because when I was talking with Jose and Sawyer before, when we tried doing the other show for this a couple weeks ago, Wanda is not necessarily a good guy at the end of this show. The writers definitely made it clear that they wanted her to be viewed as a morally gray, because this whole town of Westview was a town that she just completely just indoctrinated and just controlled their minds. They were seeing her nightmares. One of the ladies had her daughters just were locked in a room. And then in the Halloween episode, you go to that later, the outskirts of Westview, and you see how like these, it becomes almost like, I think you were saying it was like a horror movie almost, where like they're just,
oh yeah,
it's like they're like NPCs, like way late into the and further into the game's map, where it's like
they forgot to develop the rest of the game, so they just left those characters there, and then they're just stuck. But the crazy thing is, like, when it breaks, you know, when Wanda's spell is broken, you realize those aren't just, like, you know, actors or whatever, you know, however you want to view them, they're real people with, like, lives and trauma behind them. And so that's why every time a lot of the people that were stuck in the city, you know, broke away from the spell, it really does show you the level of depth and pain that they're going through. And realistically, it's all being caused by Wanda. But, you know, that is interesting to say, though, about whether or not she's a villain, because I've always kind of felt, I guess, Wanda, I don't want to say she is or isn't a villain, but, you know, I guess maybe because I've always felt like, you know, the origin of her, like, starting off as an ally of Voltron and helping him and sort of, like, take over the world. But at the same time, I will say, I think that complexity of her character, that kind of, like, insecurity or unsureness that she had as a character, is kind of also what made her more interesting, you know, is that, you know, she does have this sort of grayness to her, but it's not from a place of evil, you know what I mean? Even with her brother, you know, when they were trying to stop, you know, Tony Stark, it all came from a place of wanting to stop weapons, you know, from destroying people, but it came from a very twisted perspective. I think a lot of what Wanda does, I feel like, sometimes is somewhat impulsive, and it's people like Vision, you know, it's her loved ones that kind of bring her down into realizing sometimes that what she's doing is not necessarily always the right thing. And I think that's also because, you know, she has to, not only does she have to deal with herself, like, you know, as a person and trauma, but she also just has to deal with her powers, which, you know, give her this sort of, like, you know, I guess, one up on almost everybody. And it's like if she wanted to, you know, hurt or destroy things, she could in an instant. I think having to deal with her own individual anger or her own pain and trying to control that makes it so difficult. Because honestly, like, I feel like I don't know if Wanda would have ever came to the conclusion that she came to if it wasn't because of Agatha, which actually, in my opinion, also makes Agatha kind of a great character also.
Oh, yeah. I also don't think we're going to be done with her. I think we're going to be seeing more of her. One, the character's just too good, and people love her too much. And they kept her... They set it up where it's like, I know where to find you if I need you. And she says that she unlocked something, which we'll probably see with Spider-Man No Way Home and Multiverse of Madness. But I do think that it's like there's a lot of just good intentions with the power of a god given to a person, and not just that, but a flawed person. And that's why I've always been very sympathetic towards flawed individuals and flawed characters, mainly because, like, their story is shown to us so well, like it is here. So I see, like, a woman who's just, like, given a life that's just been nothing but pain and just loss. And it's just, like, you can't expect people to make clear, crystal, perfect, Steve Rogers-esque, like, decisions. And even then, Steve Rogers didn't make the best decisions himself either. And that's why I think I find it just so interesting. The only thing that I will say, it's like, this could have been just, like, dialed back here, is when, like, oh, they don't know what you sacrificed or something like that. It's like, I get it. Keep that to yourself, or you know, tell her that in your own somewhere else, but maybe not in front of the town, in front of them, because these guys have sacrificed a lot.
Yeah. Collectively, yeah, they all suffered way more.
Yeah, a little wrong time, wrong place. You got to feel the room, and if the room is full of people who are just, like, woke up from, like, a, you know, possession of a witch, like, just, you know, hold it back a little bit, you know. But I love the fact that we're given a character, like, with this much complexity as we do with Wanda, and I'm glad they did really, really just jumped it, and they went ahead and just gave her that complexity that her character, for them, the source material has. I haven't used source material as a term or phrase in forever, and I do think that Wanda is a character who I'm very excited to see what she's going to be doing more of in the future. More so because I have an idea of what it's going to be, and it's coming relatively soon, just not as soon enough as I want it to be.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think that goes even further to say, I think what more is it that we expect from the coming MCU shows? You know, honestly, like, I think that Wanda, I think, and that's one thing I will say, like, me as somebody who personally doesn't really watch a lot of TV shows, and also somebody who, like I said, didn't even watch any of the Netflix ones, this was such a great introduction to the Marvel series of TV shows, the MCU TV shows, that I think whether or not another show takes the same approach of being so distinctly unique, I think we can at least expect a certain level of common care between all the shows, you know, and that's kind of where I'm really interested in seeing, like, how much further they can take these. And I mean, that's why I think, yet again, like, the Loki show is another show I think that really piques my interest, because it does have that opportunity to be very unconventional, just like how WandaVision was, at least when it started off. And I think, yet again, that's kind of something that makes me personally really excited for.
It's kind of, Loki's going to be in the same family in the sense where it's like we're dealing with the higher levels of powered beings with the mystic arts. And I'm just happy as hell to finally that we're getting closer towards seeing like the dark arts, like real magic. We have the Darkhold in this show, and that's going to be leading up to things like Blade, things like Werewolf Bat Night, like the more darker side of the MCU, which is Ghost Rider, is easily within the same world as all of this stuff. I'm excited for Loki as well. There's a lot of possibilities with, one, I love Tom Hiddleston, two, the ramifications of what that show can be for the greater MCU, but as a story itself, dope. And Moon Knight, I'm excited for tons and tons of all the other shows. Some of them not so much, and we're going through one of them right now, which we'll leave for next podcast when we talk about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier and what we think about that show. But as of now, WandaVision just set the bar damn high. Not that it can't be like outdone or.
But it's like going to a restaurant and then like before you even get the meal, they bring the bread and you're like, hey, this bread's, you know, it's not the meal, but it slaps. It's some good bread. Like, you know, like. I really enjoyed WandaVision. I think a lot of people did. And I think, like I said, if you were a little disappointed by some of the things that maybe they didn't do, I'd give it a second viewing because you'd probably enjoy it a little bit more. But, what was your favorite episode? If I may speak first, I honestly, for me, and I think it's just because they're horror elements, which I just loved, the kind of the charmingness to it was the Halloween episode.
Such a good episode.
Yeah, when they were just in their original costumes and stuff, and I don't know, there was just something about that episode that I just truly, truly enjoyed. I think a lot of things happened in that episode that were really important, but at the same time, I do think that there was just a very entertaining, fun episode, and
I'm just gonna say this right now: everyone on the entire costume department deserves full marks.
Oh yeah!
For every single one of these episodes, the concept design, every aspect of this was just flawless. But a lot of it was lent by the authenticity of all of the costumes. And I love seeing her in her actual comic book outfit, which is a precursor to her full costume later. But I really liked I really liked it and enjoyed it because there was a lot of nostalgia for me. And you as well, because this was like the 2000s. So this was a decade, like it was Malcolm in the Middle. Almost a little bit like Even Stevens.
Yeah.
It was very, hit that right sweet spot for me. My favorite episode, it's like, it's very hard because I kind of clump all of the decades episodes, like the vintage episodes together. But honestly, now that it's been like a while that I've actually had to sit and think about it on which episode really just gives everything to me and just hits the right beats for me, it'd be the second to last episode where she's going with Agatha and they're going through her life and they're going and viewing her memories that kind of just and trauma that made her. Mainly because it's just, I like the idea of just her having to just self-reflect by looking at her memories and just seeing the pain that caused her to be the person that she is. And I think that's just, it's a beautiful episode. There's so many good scenes with just beautiful acting. And that was, whether it be her and Vision, her with her family when she was a child. And even when we see her create the hex and she's staring at when she sees Vision for the first time again in the black and white scenario. And it's just so heartbreaking. And I think it's a great standalone episode that it really just does the same thing with the emotion every single time on each rewatch.
No, yeah, that's a real good episode. No, you're right. Like I said, and I think it just further drives, like we've been saying, these characters even further, you know, like, and I really enjoyed the series. I loved it. I wish there was more than one season, but yet again, I think it says something to say when a show ends and you want more. I think that says a lot about the show. And all I can do is just sit and watch and see what else they do with all the other shows that they're going to do.
It's like Vision said, something isn't beautiful because it lasts. But unlike Vision sentiment, there are things that last, such as recordings, which you can go and follow on our various other platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or on all of them. You can go follow us on the PMG Podcast on either of those. Leave a like, leave a review. You can head on over to our archives where we have years worth of content ranging in topics from horror movies, comic books, gaming, Star Wars, film, and all things pop culture curated just for you. You can also follow us at Pretty Much Geek on Instagram and Facebook, where we'll be dropping clips for movies, news involving anything from pop culture, and just fun, cool little bits that I think you guys will like. Whether this was your first show or you're one of our hundreds of loyal listeners, thank you for joining us. And Alonzo, thank you for joining me again today.
Of course, as always.
And until next time, for everything else important, newsworthy, and pretty much geek, we'll have it covered on our radar. See you guys next week.